welcome back to Spill the Tea Unfiltered. How are you this week?
I am good. How are you doing?
You know, funny thing happened. Somebody in Dick's family got a phone call and they called me to laugh about it because they were like, this is hilarious. So, and it actually involves you in a way, like in a way. So,
okay. So what is it? Like, what did I do now?
You didn't do anything, but it is funny. So as everybody knows, Dick started dating Amber while him and I were still married. And I think in his mind, he truly did think that he was going to like leave me for you. And so he was setting up this path, right? Mm-hmm. So in early October, a new motorcycle showed up. He told me it was Jesse's, as we've told everybody. Like, he's told me it was Jesse's because he had a motorcycle with me in my name.
Didn't we? Like, I don't remember for sure. You keep up better than me. But didn't we start dating in October?
Yes.
Oh, so he had just got the motorcycle.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
So, and he told you it was his, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He told you it was his. He told me it was Jesse's because he was coming home to our house with a new motorcycle. And his way of explaining it was Jesse got the new CVO and he was just out riding it to test
it. So was purple his favorite color?
No, purple is my favorite color. And everything that's on it, I bought him except for his seat. But his seat, he got the purple stitching because it was my favorite. And his mom bought them that. But so he started, he was basically, what he's trying to do is hide switching the footboards and the seat and all this stuff that I had bought him to the new motorcycle. And I was like, what are you doing? And he was like, oh, I sold these to Jesse. That's what he told me. He said he sold them to Jesse to make some money. And because Jesse was just going to let him ride that bike. And I was like, this makes no sense. And again, like, this is at the end when everything was like crashing. So like all his stories were crashing. What pisses me off is he obviously lied, said that it was Jesse's bike. I ended up getting a letter from an insurance company and it was for a motorcycle. So he'd gotten insurance on it.
Oh.
And I'm
for
like,
For Jesse's bike.
And I'm like, this does not make sense. And mind you, this is before the split.
Yeah.
Like, this is like the week before everything hit the fan. So I think in his mind, what happened was he was hiding money from me. Mm-hmm. He was able to go to Harley. He was able to get a motorcycle somehow because he has horrible credit. But
I was about to say, like, how do people with really bad credit even get loans?
I think what he probably did was that he saved up enough money and hid it from me that he had a big down payment. So Harley gave it to him because he didn't have the Harley that was his was in my name. And so this guy, on top of, you know, this pisses me off worse than the cheating with like the 20 plus women, because he purposely went and got a new Harley planning to leave me for you, which fine, but like left me with knowing he was going to leave me with a $750 a month payment for a bike that was in my name. And that's what pisses me off. I'm like, so you knew you were cheating on me. You knew you were going to leave me hoping to like essentially move straight in with you and live his best life in his mind.
It's still really funny because I wouldn't even let him stay the night.
It's wild. But the fact that he was like, I'm going to buy this bike knowing that the woman who's taken care of me for 4 years and that loves me has been bought me two bikes and I'm going to leave her with it. I'm going to leave her with that debt. And so that's why he lied. Well, Harley's out looking for the bike now.
That's hilarious.
Because he's apparently not making payments. So they want to repo it. And they called his family looking for him.
That is hilarious.
And his family's like, we don't talk to him. Yeah. Well, and like he got the, what's crazy is because he got the motorcycle in October. And then in November, he got the truck, right?
Yeah.
Because you were there when he got the truck. Mm-hmm. And then that got repoed by like March of 2025. So now the bike's also like, this guy's just like, I don't know what he's doing with his money because he's not paying me and he's not paying his child support. So, and he's obviously not paying his bike payment. Mm-mm. I don't know where this guy's money's going. He's supposedly not even in the state.
His date.
Like he's supposedly not even in this state anymore. And supposedly whoever he works for right now is paying for him to stay in a hotel. So I'm like, you can't even afford your bike payment. Like that's his baby. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he's letting his bike go, I'm like, well, or what happened is he got another new bike somehow And it's a newer, because Harley keeps putting out new bikes. And in his mind, he always has to have the newest and the next best thing. So his response is, I just won't pay for that one anymore. Mm-hmm. And no one stops him. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, that could be it.
So that was wild to find out. Like, I knew, we never knew officially whose bike it was. Because he was telling other people it was his. All the women he was dating, he was saying it was his. He was telling his daughter and me that it was Jesse's. Mm-hmm. And so now we know it was his. And he literally was planning to stick me with a $750 a month bike payment after everything I did for him and everything else on top of the cheating. That to me is even worse. And I'm like, now I'm like, do you really think I'm not going to come after you for the money that you owe me? Like, knowing that you did this on purpose, I can take this to court and be like, he bought a bike while we were married with funds that he hid. Mm-hmm. Because where was that money? It wasn't in our joint bank account.
Right.
And purposely got a bike with the intention of leaving me with debt for the other bike.
Mm-hmm.
Awful. Dick, you're an awful human being. So just a reminder of where that is.
It's already things we know, though.
Yeah. It's crazy that like a year and a half later, I'm vindicated because I was like, he hid money. And this whole time he's been like, I didn't hide any money. And now I'm like, yeah, the fuck you did. Because where did you get that money?
I don't believe anything that comes out of his mouth.
No, you can't. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like incomplete, like not shocked, but just like, oh, look, I was right. So ladies, believe your gut because it's always true. Like,
yep,
that's the case. But you have a funny story because you were just swiping for entertainment purposes. And what happened?
As y'all know, I like to look for content on the dating apps. So I had told Lauren earlier about something I had seen on the As Are We Dating the Same Guy page. And well, as I'm swiping, I was just looking for a couple cool stories to talk about. And well, I was like, hey, Lauren, before we start filming, let me show you what I was talking about on the Are We Dating the Same page. Well, as I went to go pull that up, the very first one that popped up was a photo of the guy I had just seen on the Facebook dating page. And I was like, oh, well, here he is. In case anybody's wondering, don't worry. He's still on there.
Exhibit A, man who is currently taken is on Facebook dating still currently. That's crazy. And we see it all the time. And how many comments does he have?
33.
He's a new dick. It's the new dick.
33.
I guess he's just a repeat offender. He tends to have is he one of the ones that has a longstanding girlfriend? That meme's funny.
Mm-hmm.
A longstanding girlfriend. And then he still like dates people. Like, it's crazy because the amount of people on there that are like, oh, he's with somebody. Or even when sometimes the wife comments and like, oh, he's mine. I'm like, do you still want him?
Right. Like, cause I wouldn't.
Like, knowing that he's dating all these women, like, it's one thing when you're like, oh, I have kids with him and all this. But like, if you know that your husband is actively on these sites and he's getting posted in this thing and then you're on there like defending him, that's a choice.
This guy has been posted a lot on here too. I recognize him because of the big rib he's eating.
Oh yeah.
I've seen him several times.
That's pretty funny. There's a lot that have been like replayed. Oh, I just saw him on whenever I was in Memphis scrolling, he popped up, which is weird.
So he's gone a pretty good distance.
Yeah. So he's been on there. So yeah.
Somebody said he's probably slept with all the strippers in the area.
Why?
Oh. And his other good friends are only fangirls. He cycles through girls throughout the week, only wants you to go to his house. Also, he records you without knowing.
Ew.
Oh.
Well, that's creepy.
That's a whole problem.
So that was somebody who was with him who probably posted him then. So he must have been cheating on her with like strippers and stuff and OnlyFans. And a lot of guys out there still think that OnlyFans is not cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wild to me.
Absolutely.
You're like lusting over another woman.
Mm-hmm.
That is cheating. Like because it's one thing when it's like, oh, Margot Robbie, like, yeah, Margot Robbie's hot. Everyone knows that, including women. Like, it's Margot Robbie. Okay. But like, a random girl who is a like not a famous person as far as like movies and stuff that's like, it's porn. Like at that point, like that is just a porn addiction. And there's a lot of debates like around that and porn and like men and their like issues in bed and everything else. It's not a healthy addiction, guys. So you should probably just step away from that.
Right.
But yeah, I personally, like, I don't want my significant other paying other women on OnlyFans.
Mm-mm. No, that money's going to me.
Hey, there's our mascot. Hey, Biggs.
Big, Big.
He was like, oh, God, they're talking.
He's like, they noticed.
they saw me. Run. One day he will be comfortable enough that he'll, like, sit right behind us when we record.
Maybe.
That's the goal.
I don't see, he scratched my eye, so there's that.
Oh. He loves you. They're love scratches, I promise.
Oh, okay. It felt like love this morning.
That's what we tell ourselves about men, too. It's just love. It's not.
I was like, why do I always choose the abusive ones?
Yeah. Well, bless it. So you don't know about this story that I have for us today.
Oh.
So this story...
Spicy.
No, it's crazy is what it is. So death...
Death.
Yeah, we're going to talk about death.
What?
Which, if you know Lauren, it's one of her favorite things to talk about. But so long story short, I met this woman in Memphis and she was like, I'm on this podcast. And I was like, oh, crazy. I have a podcast. And I was like, tell me about your story. And she sent it to me. Turns out her story is an unsolved mystery.
Oh?
Yeah.
Like lifetime yeah. Unsolved mystery?
Yes.
Ooh, I love Unsolved Mysteries.
Yes. So it's like part of Unsolved Mysteries. And so I listened to the episode and like summarized it. And so I'll talk about it. But crazy that she was just like, yeah, murder. And I was like, murder?
Can I watch this episode? Like, is it
I listened
published?
To it on a podcast. It's on a podcast. It's on the Unsolved Mysteries podcast.
Wait, there's a podcast for Unsolved Mysteries?
Yes.
Game over. I know what we're doing tonight.
Yeah. So there's a podcast, but I did want to watch it. So I'm wondering if there is like a link to their YouTube. So we'll have to investigate.
Well, I think for a while they were on, I think it was Hulu they're on.
Yeah.
But I hadn't checked to see.
Yeah, we'll have to look because with them episodes. Being a podcast, I wonder if they're on YouTube.
My little 9-year-old self used to look forward to every week watching Unsolved Mysteries.
And this is why we all love true crime and murder. So her episode was called Where's the Money? And so essentially this took place in 2011. So it's been a minute, but it's still unsolved. So however many years later we are now, we're still there. A car was found submerged in a lake that was registered to millionaire Charles.
Hmm.
And then he was found floating dead next to the car.
Oh.
So it turns out that he was her father.
Oh.
So the girl that I met, it's her dad.
Well, that's terrible.
Yes. So, but he was a multimillionaire who worked hard and played harder.
Play harder how?
Women.
Oh.
Gambling. All the things. So this all took place in Hot Springs, Arkansas. So there's a big lake there, and that's where the car was found and his body was found. What was crazy was like just listening to her tell this story, because it's like, you know, it's weird because it's her father. So she's probably like, I miss my dad, but also my dad made really bad choices. So it's kind of like a weird...
I mean, it's understandable because, like, we can love somebody and have to love them through all their problems.
Yeah.
So, like, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. So, he went to Hot Springs, Arkansas after splitting up from his fiance. Her name is Kelly. And, mind you, him and Kelly had not been together very long. So, go in with that. He went there. It was a Wednesday night, and he showed up with two young women. And they were seen partying for 2 days, just like out in the like nightlife. And so Hot Springs, Arkansas has kind of an underbelly if nobody really knows about it. So one, I love Hot Springs. It's beautiful. There's hot baths there, like the original hot baths. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Road trip.
Yeah. It's only like a 7-hour drive. It's
what if we did that for my birthday weekend?
Okay.
We'll look into it.
Yeah. Sounds good. But like the hot springs are great. It's a really cute area, but it has an underbelly because this is where like, Al Capone and the mobsters would like have a lot of their meetings and would like get together. Yeah. So it has like this huge underbelly for like mobsters.
You know, I like a good mobster.
And like some of the original like bars and stuff that he met at are still there and everything. So, and then side note is also the birthplace of Bill Clinton, which is random. So they have a sign for that. And I'm like, you should put it,
but I didn't inhale.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, you should put the Al Capone up here. But so they were living in Mississippi at the time. And then he basically went to Arkansas to party, which is hilarious. If you think about it, like instead of Vegas, like he drove up to Arkansas.
Super weird. Cause I really thought that all that Arkansas had was a Walmart and, duck hunting. Like that was it.
Yeah. Also mobsters.
Apparently super, mobsters. I didn't random. Know.
And diamonds. You can dig for diamonds in Arkansas.
Oh, I didn't know that either. Yeah. I literally thought it was just duck hunting in Walmart's home office.
You and probably half the people who listen to this. So yeah, so they were out like partying and going crazy. And his daughter believes at this time he was in a manic episode. So he had had like a stroke or something at one point in time, some kind of like health like issue, and after that he had like a lot of manic episodes that would like randomly come up. So she thinks he was doing that because in those manic episodes he loved to flash his money, to the point that he bought two brand new cars within 2 days.
Oh,
like including the one that was found in the lake. He had just bought that car the day before.
Oh, that's terrible. Like imagine like you're picking out your car and you're like, yep, that's the one I'm gonna die in.
Yeah, so
that's it.
So that was pretty crazy. Like who has the money? It was a Cadillac too. So like back in 2011, like it wasn't a cheap car.
Yeah.
And the police believed and still like aren't really looking into it, that he drove his car into the lake while drunk.
Oh.
However, his daughter never believed that, because there was no like foul play marks at all. Meaning like also including what you would get from like a wreck.
Right.
There was
so it was like his body was put there after.
Correct. And there was water in his lungs. So people were like, oh, he just drowned. But there was no, he was a bigger dude. So like, they were like, how did he float out of the car?
Good question.
And then like, there was no like, let me break the window. And then you have like any kind of damage of any kind on his person. So they were like, that's weird. He could swim. So if he was conscious,
he would have just swam.
Right. He could have got out and swam. They did a test on him to see if he had alcohol in his system, and he did not.
Okay. Well, how are you drinking and driving and wreck into a pond if you don't even have any alcohol in your system?
Right. So then at that point, the cops are like, suicide.
I don't know. If I'm a multimillionaire, I'm probably not killing myself.
That's another thing she was saying. She was just like, so
at least not here. I might, you know,
and when
choose a better location.
When he was found, he had $25,000 in a boot. In one of his boots. He had $5,000 in rubber bands in his back pocket. And then he also had three guns on him. So if he was being attacked, why wouldn't he have used the guns? Because he always talked about like how he carried all his money and he was flashy. So he always had a weapon on him to be able to protect himself. And then also if this was solely about money or like a robbery, why wouldn't they have taken
the money?
Maybe they didn't know about the 25K in the boot, but at 5K in the back pocket, surely you saw that lump. Like that's a big lump.
Why couldn't he have been my dad?
Right. He was also found without his glasses, and he is blind as a bat, according to his daughter. His glasses were found in the hotel room.
Would he drive his car?
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
Why
would he?
If he wasn't drunk and he couldn't see, why would he drive his car into the lake? And the only thing missing was his watch, his Rolex, but not all that cash.
Mm.
So they were like,
suspicious.
Like it almost looked like somebody tried to like just take
one thing to be like he was robbed, but didn't bother to check his back pockets or his boot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
do we think it's a fiance?
Well, that's what we kind of get to. So the daughter believes the car was pushed in and they were pushed in separately, because he was like too big to float out. So one of the last people to see him alive was this massage therapist who the two girls he was with ordered to the room at 2 a.m. She said that the girls offered her drugs, and she said, like, no, she didn't want any. She was good. They offered her a beer and she took it, and then she started feeling sick. So she thinks they put, like, Rohypnol, mm-hmm. like the date rape drug.
To make her forget.
Right. And then they said that the girls were just handing her things, like a remote, a book, like the Bible, like things around the room, almost like to get her fingerprints on the room.
That's really strange.
Yeah. So that's what the massage therapist, like, told the cops. And again, the cops didn't really look into this. So that's crazy to me. So that was super weird. But then part of the problem was, so apparently that night, the massage therapist said that her dad said, I don't feel good. I don't want a massage anymore. And then went and laid down.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last time the massage therapist saw him, because she said that she started not feeling good. And so she was like, I'm going to leave. And the girls, like, kicked her out. And that was the last time he was seen alive. The family, she said one of her biggest regrets was that the family ended up cremating him. So they couldn't do a test to see if there was Rohypnol in his system, because the test that they ran for the autopsy didn't test for that.
Oh,
it
no.
was a separate test. So there's a chance that the girls had drugged him,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't, like, so he wasn't conscious. And then if they would have put him in the water,
mm-hmm.
he would have, like, swallowed the water and drowned.
Yeah.
So, but no one ever got the video footage from the hotel, from the streets, nothing, because the cops, something about the sheriff, the one of the deputies that was working, or it's a very small town. So, like, whoever was working was on vacation for, like, 2 months, and everybody else had other things going on. So, like, they never,
nobody could stop and
nobody got a subpoena. Nobody got a subpoena.
You know what? Scratch that. We don't need to go there.
Yeah. Nobody got the subpoena for the, like, for the video cam footage, or for the video footage. So then, of course, after a while, it gets recorded over.
Yeah.
So that's weird. It's a failure on law enforcement for sure. Like, this definitely could have been figured out.
Because I'm sure, like, now we don't even know who the two girls were.
Yes. Yeah, I think they know who they are, but there was nothing that they could...
there was nothing to support it.
To arrest them for, because there was no video of them, like, dragging him to the lake or anything. No one saw him for 36 hours and no one reported him missing, including the two girls who were partying with him.
Weird.
However, the girls were watching from the balcony as her dad was pulled from the lake.
So the lake was right next to
him. Yes.
So they didn't have to drag him far.
Right. And they sat there and watched. Yes, and so they didn't get the warrant for the video. The girls left and brought the stuff back to his daughter because the cops let them go and said, pack up the room and take all his stuff back to his kids. His kids would probably want it. So they, right then and there, all, like, evidence is tainted.
They didn't even need the lady's fingerprints.
No. No. And she said that when she met the girls, so she actually met the girls to get his stuff,
mm-hmm.
and they had a stun gun in their car. Like, in the back with it. And, like, she was like, why do these girls have a stun gun? Like, I mean, girls protect themselves, but also, like, you're out partying with a millionaire all weekend. Like, why do you have a stun gun?
Right.
Well, then they found out, because obviously, like, he was missing and the family didn't know. Like, they didn't have a clue he was missing, because he was out on a bender having fun and the mm-hmm. people that were with him didn't report him. Well, while he was missing, his home was broken into and burglarized. Like, tables flipped, mattresses flipped, and he kept a lot of his money under the mattress and it was all gone.
Yeah.
So, like, someone who knew, and then there was a secret compartment in the nightstand and the stuff was out of it too. So it had to have been someone
who knew,
like
the fiance.
Yes. Hmm. Interesting, right?
Suspicious.
So, before, on the way to Hot Springs, when he bought the Cadillac, he was hanging out with the car salesman and the two girls.
Never trust a car salesman.
Right. So the car salesman is the one who reported him missing after the 36 hours.
Okay, maybe that car salesman you can kind of trust.
Maybe, but then why was he the one
to report, not to report the two girls?
And he was super involved. Like he was, she said he was super involved for a guy who just sold him a car. And she was like, and he was acting really suspicious too. And like he knew the two girls.
Oh, so they were all in it together with the fiance.
Right. But again, there was no evidence for the car dealer. So she was like, okay. So the daughter was like, obviously wondered if the ex-fiance was involved. Because she was only a year older than his daughter. She obviously thinks that she was using her dad for money.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Because she became the beneficiary of $1 million policy.
So she took all the money.
So they ended up settling outside of court because there was something wrong with like the fax machine and like the way the paper was transferred. So they were able to contest it. So they settled. So she did get something, but she didn't get the full million.
Well, good.
But that's crazy because then that his ex-fiance was married to someone new 2 weeks after he died.
Oh, I'm sure.
And then of course she divorced that guy not long after. And so the daughter went to him and was like, hey, can you like talk to me about anything? And he was like, no, she's crazy. I don't want to be involved. So, and she has a pattern for marrying rich men.
Imagine that.
So, something's obviously weird there. She kept saying she didn't want to be pulled into it whenever like the cops were like, can we ask you questions and stuff? She's like, I don't have anything to do with this. I don't want to be pulled into it. But in 2017, out of nowhere, she contacted the daughter because the daughter put a $25,000 reward for information.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted the reward money.
Oh, of course she did.
Because she said she knew who killed her dad and that she was there when her dad died. So then the daughter calls the cops and says, hey, this is what I've been told. And the cops still didn't do anything with that information.
So she's probably paying the cops or doing something with them. She's LinkedIn.
Either that or they just did such a bad job the first time and they don't want to deal with like having to admit their wrongs and go back at it. But the story basically ends like that. There were two girls. There was a car salesman. There's the ex-fiance. His house was broken into. Money was gone. There was $1 million life insurance policy. There was potentially Rohypnol in his system because the massage therapist had it in her system.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't feel good and fell and went to bed when the massage therapist was there. And then she also left. He didn't have his glasses on. He was too big to fit in the car and to drive. So therefore, he wouldn't have been able to float out of the car. So because the way the parking lot is, you could easily just push a car into the lake.
Mm-hmm.
So she said that. So to me, again, it's completely unsolved. But one would venture, mm-hmm. one would surmise that maybe. I would be interested to know if the ex-fiance knows it's those two girls.
Oh, 100%.
So, love can kill. That's the moral of this story. Unsolved mysteries, murder can kill. As we know, I mean, we see it all the time, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
A lot of the true crimes. It was just crazy because I actually know her to like learn this story and the fact that it's still unsolved. And I feel like it should not be like these glaring truths, like things, like all this evidence, and I'm like, how is this not solved?
Right.
And it's 100% because they let them pack up the hotel, so there was no evidence and no chain of evidence, and then they never got a warrant for the videos,
mm-hmm.
for any video footage.
They really dropped the ball on all of it.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, this does not look good for that mm-hmm. sheriff's department at all.
It's not a lawsuit.
And she called a bunch of different like agencies, but then like she said she called like the FBI and stuff, but they didn't have jurisdiction, which is true. So, you know, then you're running into that issue. So the one that did have jurisdiction didn't do anything.
They just dropped the ball. They didn't care.
And they basically were like, oh, another millionaire's dead. Oh, well. Like, you know.
So what's, like, is the crime rate high there?
I mean, Arkansas doesn't have a great crime rate, but Little Rock's higher than Hot Springs. Hot Springs is really small. Like I said, I mean, they had like the mobster era and stuff, and I'm sure it has like a very seedy underbelly for that, but it's not as bad as like Memphis or Little Rock.
Yeah.
That's a wild story, like one that we haven't really dealt with, but I thought it was crazy enough because it still deals with toxic love, mm-hmm. because, you know, obviously he has his issues too, because he breaks up with his fiance, he goes and parties with two young girls. And then, but then she has her issues because I mean, she probably had something to do with his death. But on top of that, she, you know, got remarried within what, 2 weeks? Like, that's crazy. Like, you know, choices.
Wild
choices. So yeah, so that's our story for today, guys. You know, we'd love some true crime around here. So if you have any other crazy true crime stories, any listeners that involve love and toxic relationships, go ahead and send them our way, because they're very interesting to us. So yeah.
Thanks, guys.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Have a good one.
This episode is proudly brought to you by the law firm Ryan and Rouse. If you or a loved one have been injured or need legal help for changing family circumstances, contact the personal injury and family law attorneys at Ryan and Rouse today at 256-801-1000 or visit them online at www.alabamalaw.com. When your future is on the line, don't go at it alone.